This morning, as we get to celebrate our risen Savior, how many of you are so thankful that God gave his son for your sins? That God gave his son. I had one of my neighbors came out and asked me yesterday. She said, okay, I got to ask you something, you know, because everybody that knows me asked me the Bible questions, right? They say, all right, I know you're a pastor, so I got to ask you something. And she said, why on earth do they call it Good Friday? Like, why? Why would he even say that that is a good thing? And how many of you know good things can come out of bad situations? The Good Friday, the good part of that is that God gave his son and Jesus went to the cross willfully for you and for me so that we could have access to our Father. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. Amen? If that's not good news, I don't know what is. I'm going to start reading this morning. First, let me pray before we get into our service. Sermon portion. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you that you sent your son. We thank you that you loved us enough to allow us into your family, to allow us to be your children, to be called your children, to be accepted by you, Father God. I thank you for that. I ask that as we go through your scripture, the word here, Father God, that you would anoint my speaking, Father God, and allow hearts and lives to be changed. Allow us to see differently this morning what you've done. Allow us to see the things that you've given to us, that you've promised to us, and allow us to see that they actually include us in our lives, Father. And I thank you for that. And as we celebrate today, let us understand how good you are to us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. So I'm going to read about 12 verses here to start off with. Luke 24 verses 1 through 12. We're reading out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. So it says this. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. They had found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and to be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanne and Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them like an idle tale. They did not believe them, but Peter rose up and ran to the tomb, stooping in and saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home and marveled at what happened. Now, how many of you know God tells us in the scripture things that are about to come? God tells us what happens, and we know what the scriptures say. We know the scriptures are true. We know that they point to a risen Savior. We know that they point to freedom. We know that they point to healing. We know that they point to all these things, but in the midst of the problem or the trial or the thing that we're going through, we forget that was there, right? We forget that that's what God had said about our lives, about what Jesus has done, about who we are. We totally forget all of it. Or we look at it and we think something completely different than what God intended. Amen? I'm going to say that again. We look at something and see it completely different than God intended. We celebrated that last week in Palm Sunday. Remember, as Jesus rode in, it was a triumphal entry. He rode in on a donkey. They were putting palm leaves and clothing down in front of him and allowing him to come in and celebrating the king that was coming. But only a short while later, those same people were sending him to the cross. Why? Because they didn't understand what God was doing in the situation. They saw Jesus as coming in and he was going to be like a military guy that was going to take over and Rome was going to be driven out, right? And he was going to establish his kingdom here on earth. How many of you know Jesus was establishing his kingdom, but it wasn't here on earth? He's the Lord and the King, but it wasn't quite what they had anticipated or expected. A lot of us see the empty tomb today and we don't understand exactly what God has done for each and every one of us.
we look at it and we see one thing. We see bad. We see I can't live up to that. Say we see all these different things about our own lives, and the Bible tells us, the Scripture says that God sent His Son just so that we could have freedom because He loved us. Right? He sent His Son so we wouldn't die, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, is what it says. And there's events all through history that we see, and things all through history that seem good or seem bad. And ultimately, how many of you know God gets glory out of everything that happens? Amen? We see the situation that we're in now. We see the things that are going on. And regardless of what society says about Jesus or what the world says about Jesus, how many of you know our culture revolves around His life? Like, there were a lot of other people, a lot of other events in history, right? So I'm gonna play a game with you guys. You guys ready? I'm gonna ask you guys a date. I want you to know to see if you know what happened on those dates. November 9th, 1989. Who knows what happened on that date? Some of you guys who are history will know this, and you'll be there. That was the day that the Berlin Wall fell. You guys remember that? Mr. Gorbachev, bring down that wall, right? Bring it down. Some of us remember those things. But how many of you know, if you live in Berlin, that changed the world forever? What they live in, how they lived, it changed everything, right? July 20th, 1969. What happened on that date? Commander Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon. He walked on the moon for the first time. Something that has never happened. Something that some people still claim never happened, right? It's a true statement. But you know what? About the resurrection, there's some people that claim that never happened. But how many of you know? You can disagree all you want, but He is risen. He is alive this morning. Amen? November 11th, 1918. I wasn't around 1918. Like, nobody I know was around 1918, pretty much, I don't think. That was a long time ago, right? There were some people, right? It's 2020. It might be 102. Anyway, so... That was the day that World War I ended. How many of you know that was a good time for the world? That was an amazing thing that the world, the war that we had been in, finally came to an end. And that changed the world as we know it, right? There were certain things that went forward. There are certain things that were established. There's so many things in our calendar that we look at and we say, that changed history. That changed the world forever. But none more than Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting for our sins. How many of you know, this is the thing. Even the secular world, right? Even the people who don't believe that in Jesus and God and all those different things, I don't know if they really understand that our calendar revolves around the life of Jesus, right? A.D. Now, a lot of people think that means after death. It's not true. That sounds really good and it works, but it doesn't mean that. It means Anno Domini, which means is Latin for the year of our Lord, is what it stands for. So whenever anybody says 2020 AD, guess what? They're claiming the year of our Lord, right? The year of our Lord. Jesus came and did some things. BC stands for exactly what it sounds like and what people say, before Christ. So the world, the calendar, revolves around the life of this man. The life of Jesus. And how many of you know His life, more than anyone on the planet, more than any life that was ever lived, changed everything. Changed everything. We need to understand why He came. We need to understand not just why He came, why He died, why He was resurrected. How many of you know there were millions of people that received 39 lashes, right? That were beaten, scourged. Millions. There were millions of people who died on a cross. According to Scripture, there were several people that were raised from the dead. We're going to read about one of them in a minute. But how many of you know it didn't happen all three together as the prophecies said was going to happen? Right? Jesus came to be a sacrifice for you and for me. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Everybody say that I could have life and life more abundantly. I want to make this statement and I want you to understand this, man. Jesus didn't come
to make bad people good. It's not why Jesus came. He came to make dead people alive. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. But how many of you know sometimes we don't understand the whole story about what's going on? Sometimes we let our situation dictate what we get of the story. So what I remembered, I was going through the message and going through my mind and thinking about things. And I remember as a kid, I used to live in Apopka and on Wakiva Ridge. And my buddy Chad lived up the street. Chad Williams, he's one of my best friends, still is, lives in Louisiana. But I remember this. So I was not always really good at getting up to go to school, right? I wasn't. The only person I know that was worse than me was Chad. Right? Chad lived up the street, and I could count on, if I missed the bus, it's okay, because I could ride with Miss Bobby and where she's dropping off Chad at school, because I know he missed the bus. Like doesn't matter what time it was, I know he missed the bus. But I'm saying all this, on the way to work, she listened to talk radio, and there was a guy named Paul Harvey. Y'all remember Paul Harvey Sr.? What was his famous quote, his famous line that he said? And that is the rest of the story. Right? He would take something that we already knew, and he would tell the meaning behind it. He would tell what happened through it, and then he would go on to elaborate why it was important, right? And that is the rest of the story. I can still hear it in my mind, right? A lot of us understand what happened, but we forget about the rest of the story when it comes to what Jesus did, when it comes to why he did what he did. John 11, 3 through 4, we're going to read a little bit about the story of Lazarus. I'm telling you guys about how we understand in our mind what the Bible says. We see the situation, but we don't understand how that situation relates to our lives, right? How many of you ever do that? You read the scripture and you say, okay, the scripture says this, but how does it translate into what I do every day? How do I take what the Word of God says and apply it to my life? This is a story about Lazarus. For those of you guys who don't know, go and read John chapter 11 and you can read it all the way through. But this is what happened. Lazarus got sick and his sister sent word to Jesus. John 11, 3 and 4. It says, so his sister sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said this, the illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. How many of you know, when we bring a problem to Jesus, when we bring a problem to God, we want him to handle it right now in a certain way, right? We want it right now, and we want it like this. It's our way right away. Burger King don't even do that right? Like, that's what they say, is your way right away, and it don't happen that way. It might be wrong, and not at all right away, right? We see things happening. We give it to God and we say, God, I want you to do this. I want this to change and I want this to fix and do it like this, right? Now, how many of you know they were kind of disappointed when Jesus didn't drop everything immediately and come? It says in scripture that he waited two more days before he left, right? And then we drop down to chapter 17. It says this, and now when he came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. We skip down to verse 21, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If only this would have happened, we wouldn't be in this situation right now. How many of you do that with the situations in your life? Well, if only this would happen. God, if you would only change this, or God, how could you let that happen? How could this be, God? Don't you understand what I'm going through? How many of you know God knows exactly what you're going through? How many of you know God is in control? How many of you know Jesus paid for it all? And we get to receive it. But it might not look like we want it to look. Amen? It might not look like we want it to look. If you would have only been here, he would not have died. But even now, she said this, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. Let me stop right there for a second. I'm trying to think of a gentle way to say it, but I'm just going to say it. How many of you know that God answers your prayers? That you don't have to go to somebody else to say a prayer. It's not about how holy or how many these and thous they use in the middle of it. It is not about how good it sounds. How many of you know God answers your prayers? He does. He does. Constantly. Constantly. She's coming here. You know what? She could have prayed. You know, one of the things that we see about God, about Jesus, about Him dying, about the Holy Spirit coming, He gives us the ability to do what He's done, right? Before He left, He said, hey, man, I give you all authority in heaven, right? He told them about going and preaching and about laying hands on the sick and about salvation coming to people. He talked about us being able to go and be a part of that. So why doesn't it happen in our lives? Just a thought. Just a thought. Why doesn't it happen in our lives? One of the things I think is because we rely on other people to talk to God on our behalf. We go to other people that we think are maybe more holy, or maybe they know more Bible, or that's not what God's about. He's your Father, and He loves you, and He listens to you, and He answers you. We need to understand that. She said to Jesus, I know that whatever you ask from God, He will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And then she said this. How many of you know? We get an answer about what God will do, and we give an excuse as to when or why or how it's going to happen. Right? Well, God's word says this. Yeah, but I get it. Now, one day we're going to stand in front of Him, and we're going to be healed, and healing's going to come. I understand that that's coming one day. But let me tell you something. Jesus didn't die just for our one day. He came that we could have life and life more abundantly. He came that we could have life right now, that we could walk in Him right now, that we could have the blessings of God right now in our lives, so that we could give to other people the love, grace, and mercy that He's given to us right now, so that we could walk in that love, grace, and mercy every day of our lives. The joy of the Lord being a part of what we have. Are we going to go through things? Yes, He said we were, but He's going to be going through those things with us. She says this to Him. She says, I know that one day He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said this to her, and I want you to get this morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her this, do you believe that? He gave her the principle that said, I am the resurrection and the life, that through me you can go to the Father, that through me you can have life, that through me that the problems, the issues, the trials, the everything that you face in this world, that I will take care of, and I can. Do you believe me? How many of you know Jesus can bring healing? He can bring restoration. He can bring restoration in all areas of our lives. Not just one, not just salvation. He's our Lord and Savior. That means He's both, right? That means He's both. Do you believe this? And she said to Him, yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. This is what I want us to get this morning. Again, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And how many of you know we live in death a lot of times in our life? You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to give us three areas that we live in, that we allow the enemy. Remember the scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we allow the enemy to do that to us. We allow him to steal what God has for us because of doubt, because of these issues that we're going to talk about. But first, before I go there, I was told a story, man, and I got this from my pastor in Louisiana, Pastor Carl Kelly, and he was talking about, and I probably don't get it exactly right, but you'll understand the meaning behind it. There was a man, and he was in Africa, and he went to this camp, and they had a bunch of elephants that were a part of the camp that they had trained and they had done, and they lived there. And he was shocked and amazed to see that these elephants all were being held by a stake in the ground and a rope, a little tiny rope around their ankle. So think about this. These massive 1,200, 1,300 pound animals were being contained by something that you could pull apart easily, right? That could be pulled apart. You put two trucks on it and you go and pull apart easy. You actually put it on an elephant that's never seen this before and it's going to break it like a piece of dental floss, right? And he's like, how on earth are you able to contain these elephants this way? How on earth are you able to just put that little tiny rope, because they can just destroy that? And he said, this is how it's done. Now I want you to understand this. This is how it's done. He said, when they are very, very young and not strong enough to break this rope, we put that rope on them. And they pull and they pull and they pull and they pull and they do everything they can to break it. And they determine in their mind, I can't break that rope. And then as they grow and they get stronger and they get stronger, they still have that mental break. I can't break that. Let me tell you something. The devil does everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the chief of lies, the chief liar, and he will put those things in your mind to keep you contained and away from what God has for you. Jesus has given us the keys. He's given us the ability, the power to break those chains, right? The rope, the things that hold us. Some of us are dead in our doubts. Some of us are dead in our doubts. We doubt, we understand God can do it. We understand that he's able, but he didn't do it for me. He can't do it for me. I've got this issue and I've got that issue. John 11:16 again, or I'm going to start 11:11. Said, after saying these things, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. He's talking to the disciples. But I will go and awaken him. The disciples said to him, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking a rest in sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. How many of you need to put plainly in your life before you get it? Right? Don't ask my wife about that with me, but sometimes I got to have it just, hey, look, here it is. He told them, but they didn't understand. The disciples said, if he's just fallen asleep, he will recover. He's died. Verse 15, it says, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. How many of you know issues that we have, sometimes that's the first thing. God, where are you at in the middle of this situation? Where are you at? How come you're not answering? How come I'm not seeing a difference? How come I'm not seeing a change? And God's sitting there saying, I'm glad that I'm not there right now, that you don't see me in this situation right now. How many of you know he's always with us? But I'm glad that you don't see me in this situation right now, because you're going to come to understand exactly who I am because of this. Right? There's people that say, well, how can this virus go on if God's such a good God and all these different things? How? Hey, you know what? We're going to get to see his glory out of this situation. I promise you. Do you know how I know? Because the word of God tells me that, and it doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. This is for your benefit. This is for your sake. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, or Didymus, it says in some other translations, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. So going on through the scripture, it's talking about how, Jesus, how are you going to go there? You read a little bit earlier, that's why I said, go back and read this block of scripture all together. They said, we can't go there because they're going to kill you. They're going to stone you, right? And Jesus says, no, we got to go, and we're going to go, and this is the reason why we're going to go, and this is why we're going to be there, and you're going to get to see it. So just because of Thomas's, we know him as Doubting Thomas, right? Thomas wasn't always doubting. Because of that, I'm going to tell you something funny already. How many of you read the Word of God? And it's like, y'all gonna think I'm weird. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's like there are voices for certain people, right? Thomas, just because of Doubting Thomas, just because of that part, in my mind, he's like Eeyore in the scripture, right? Like, well, here we go. I'm not gonna believe it unless I see it. Or, you know, that's how I hear him, and that's how I read that when I was reading it, and I didn't understand.
That's not what he's saying at all. Well, we're going to go. We'll die just like Lazarus did. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, guys, if that's where Jesus is going, let's go with him. Let's go with him. How many of you know even a bad ride is going to be good if Jesus is a part of it, right? I'm going to say that again. Even a bad ride is going to be good if Jesus is a part of it, right? If God's a part of what we've got going on. We have to understand that God has a plan and not allow those doubts to come in and keep us from what God has for us. We need to not die in our doubt. The next thing, some of us are dead in our discouragement. John 11:21 is where I'm going to read, sorry. It says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If only. We live life with a lot of the if onlys. If only this would have happened, I would be in a different place. Or if only this would have happened, I would have been there. And we allow the enemy to keep us in that discouragement. If only this relationship would have worked out, my life would be totally different. Or if only this job would have worked out. Or if only this. And because of that, we allow the discouragement of that thing not working to keep us from what God has for us. But how many of you know, sometimes that thing not working is what puts us where God wants us to be. That discouragement, that turn down, that job that we're trying to go for and we don't get, that promotion that we're not getting, the thing that's not coming to us, the stuff that we're looking at and saying, hey, God, I want that in my life. And God's saying, man, that's not what I have for you. I've got this. But we allow the discouragement because we didn't get that to take away the joy of what he has for us. Not understanding his promises. The next thing we do is we get caught in dead in delay. We don't understand that sometimes there's a reason why we don't have what we have right now. John 11:17. Now Jesus came and he found that he had been in the tomb dead for 4 days. Again, verse 21. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. God, if you would only do it this way. If God did it this way, if God did it the way you wanted, you probably wouldn't receive half of the things that he's given to you already. Right? I remember, and I know this is a Christmas story, and I've told you guys this before, but I remember as a kid, my dad tells this story. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I came to him with my Christmas list. Y'all remember this one? And I said, Dad, this is what I want for Christmas. Problem is, I came to him on Christmas Eve, right before we were going to bed. Right? With my list. And my dad said this. He said, Tobe, I already got you everything that I'm going to get you for Christmas. So, I have a question for you. Do you want the things that I've given to you, or do you want me to take all those things back and give you this that you asked for? And you, how many of you know, at 4 or 5 years old, this is a hard question, right? It's like, door number one, door number two, you know, what do I do? And I came to this realization, and we all need to come to this realization about our Father in heaven. I came to this realization, and I told my dad, I said, Dad. I said, I want what you have for me, because you always give me the best things. If we would understand that if we would just allow God to give us the things that he wants to put in our life, if we wouldn't go after and reach after and strive for the, now, I'm not telling you don't do nothing, sit back and just let God pour into your life. That's not what I'm saying. We still have to do our part. Amen? But if we would go after the things that God wants for us, instead of trying to have God give us what we want in our lives, what would our lives look like? How amazing would our lives be? Because how many of you know God answers prayers? Verse 22, she said, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. If we could understand that God would answer our prayers, if we could understand that we can go to the Father because of what Christ has done, our lives would be totally different. Today, God's promises are for you and for me. When I am living a life in Christ, when you are living a life in Christ, we have overcome the world. He tells us that. He says, you'll face problems, you'll face trials, you'll face tribulations, but cheer up because I've overcome the world. That's great. If I live in him, guess what? If I have my faith in him,
if I'm walking by the Spirit, living my life according to what He's given to me, how many of you know my life's going to be better than I could have ever imagined, even through my trials, even through my problems, even through my issues. But sometimes because of the delay, we give up. Sometimes because it's taking longer than we had expected or it's not going as quick as we could, we give up. Just as she did, if you'd only been here, he would have never died. Now it's done, man. But maybe you could do something else, right? God, my plan is blown out of the water. Maybe we can walk by yours now, right? Maybe that's what it takes sometimes. One of my wife's favorite scriptures in the Bible, man, and she tells me this constantly, and we go through this, and we were talking about it just the other day with somebody is in the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed. He kept praying and praying and praying, and he didn't seem like he was reaching. He was receiving the answer to his prayer. Daniel 10:12-14 says this. And then he said to me, talking about the angel of the Lord, it said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. And I came because I have come because of your words," is what the scripture says. So as soon as you pray, God heard and he sent me, right? Say, well, why did it take so long? Verse 13 says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision for these days is yet to come." He said, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and where was my answer?" How many of you have ever thought that in your life? God, I keep praying. I keep asking you for this. I keep asking you for this. I keep praying. I keep praying. I keep praying. But how many of you know there's a certain time that God's going to do things in our life? And we need to understand that those things are done because he has a plan. He has a purpose. It's his will, not mine. That's what Jesus prayed. "Your will be done," right? "Not my will be done. God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand what's happening here. But whatever you want from me," God hears us and he sends the answer. We need to understand that it's not about our will. It's his will. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not right now. Maybe later. Right? I do that to my kids all the time. "Dad, can I have this?" "Not now." "Can I have a sucker?" "Not now. It's time to go to bed. But tomorrow, that bad boy is yours," right? It's not time for us to have it. One day. So what do we need to do with this information? How do we apply this information to our lives? Because this is what happened. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life more abundantly." Remember the elephant? Remember the elephant? We need to change our way of thinking. We need to change the way that we see what Christ has done. We need to open our minds, number one, open our minds to God's power. Open our minds to God's power. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," how? "By the renewal of your mind." Change the way that we think. Start looking at God, understanding, "God, I know that you can do it. Not just I know you can do it. I know it's possible for you. But God, that you're going to do it for me. That you've paid for it." Remember, Jesus said what on the cross? He said, "It is almost done." Not quite yet. No. He said, "It is finished." He paid for it. We need to understand that we can walk in it. "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." When our minds are transformed, when we start thinking what God wants, "God, I want what you want," when we start understanding that it's not just about me in this world, it's about the ministry that God's given to us. One of my favorite things, man, and Aaron and I were talking about this. My favorite scripture, everybody asks me my favorite scripture, and at different times I'll tell you different things, but you want me to tell you what my favorite thing is? And it's also one of the things that's hardest for me to grab. You guys with me? It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do this, everything I've given to you will be taken care of." All the commandments, All the things that I've asked you to do will be taken care of if you would just do these two things. How many of you know those are difficult? But how many of you know if I can change my thought process and run everything through that filter, guess what? My life will be what God has called me to be. We need to understand that Jesus paid for it. We need to understand that there's power. Open our heart to God's power. 1 Peter 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you." Now, we do have a promise in heaven, but how many of you know that life is for us here today as well? And when we start walking in it, when we start listening to God, allowing our mind to be transformed and to be changed, and understand how powerful our God is and how small our situations are compared to him and his power, and that it's already paid for. If we could just change our minds to think that. We need to, number two, open our hearts to God's love. Open our hearts to his love. I mean, it's hard to understand a God that anybody would love me because of the issues that I have in my life. Because of the past that I have. Because of the things that I've done. Because of how much, I'm going to be blunt, how much of an idiot I am from time to time. Honestly. And still am from time to time. I figured I'd get an amen and I'll at least my wife on that one, right? If I could understand and open my heart to God's love, John 15, 13 says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." That we could understand what he's done for us, what he's given to us, the joy that we have, the peace that we have in believing and understanding and knowing exactly who he is and how much he loves us. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord." God gave his son because he loved me so much. He was willing to give up everything for me. And you. You're included in that too. If we could understand his love. And the next thing that we need to do, we need to open our lives to God's grace. We need to open our lives to God's grace. So our mind to his power, our mind to his love, and our hearts to his love, and our lives to his grace. Let me be real. Just because the grace is there doesn't mean we have received it. Just because the grace is there doesn't mean we have received it. It's a gift. It's there for us. We're going to go back to Friday now. You guys ready? Luke 23, 39 through 43. It says, "One of the criminals that were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? For we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving due rewards for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And Jesus said, and he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" How many of you know that grace was available for both of those people? But only one chose to take it. Only one chose to receive it. How many of you know we got to open our lives to his grace? I want us to think about the message, the eternal message of Jesus and what he's done and why this is important to us. Romans 3, 22 through 24 says this, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, there is no distinction." Right? So there's no distinction as to who this gift is available for. You say, it doesn't matter whether I understand what your background is. It doesn't matter whether I see what... The scripture tells us that he died for everyone and that we all have an opportunity for grace according to his scripture. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Christ, not by doing anything. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. But this is the trap that we catch, right? This is the trap that we get into. We get into the religion of doing these things instead of the relationship of doing these things. The religion says that it's all about me and what I can do. The relationship says it's all about Jesus and what he did. If I obey God in religion, he will love me. To the relationship that because God loves me, I can obey him. Because God loves me, I can live the life that he has for me. Religion says that I have to do. Relationship says that it is done. It is finished. Amen? It is finished. And how is it finished? Because we get to celebrate that he is risen today. We get to celebrate that by his stripes we were healed, that the blood that was shed covers my sin and allows me to come into my Father's presence, your Father's presence, that we have access to God. Would you guys come? Today, I want you to do this with me. Today, there's some of you that are dead in your doubts, that are dying in your issues. You're allowing your past to dictate where you think your future can be. And today, God is saying, I have taken care of that, and I love you. Today, he's saying, I want you to be in relationship with me. Not just obedient, not just doing these things, but because of your heart, you love me. Because you believe, I have a gift for you. I have a present for you. It's my son. And it's freedom from those things that hold us back so that we can live life and life more abundantly. Today you say, you know what? I want that, man. I don't have that. I don't want that. I may have said a prayer years ago. I may have tried to live by these rules and these things and do all this stuff right, not understanding that Jesus took care of it, that I can have it, that it's available for me, and all I have to do is accept it. Today, I want to change my mind. I want to look at God as my Father instead of just the ruler that is over me. I want to look at what Christ did for me as freedom instead of putting chains on me so I have to be a certain way. I want to see that the actions that I make and the things that I do have consequences, do have reasons, do have a purpose, and it's to point people to him. Not just to take away the things that I think are fun. It's about knowing him today. Today you want to have that relationship. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. The scripture tells us that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that we shall be saved. It tells us that in Romans. So what I want to do is I want to say this prayer. I want you to repeat it after me. Everybody that's here, everybody that's watching, I want you to repeat it. And this is why. It's not these words that it says. It's not that it's a special mantra that we say, and because we said it a certain way, we get to receive things. No. But it's us together as a body of believers accepting what Christ has given to us. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, the things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son to die for me so that I could have life, so that I could have access to you, my Father. And I accept it now. I know that he died. I know that he rose again. And according to scripture, he's at your right hand. I accept that gift. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. And amen. We have new life in Him because of what we celebrate today. Because He is alive. Because of His sacrifice, His resurrection, because of what He has done, we are able to have newness of life. God is good to us. Now I want you to do something for me. I want you to share that message with everybody you come in contact with everybody that you know. Let them all know. It's not about how good they are. It's about how good He is to us, His children. Amen? Why don't you guys stand and we're going to sing. We'll come back in a minute.